It's such a wonderful job. Appreciate the Cook family. What a blessing. It's good again to have Brother Knickerbocker with us tonight and preaching for his sixth time in 3 days. And we're so glad to have him be here with us tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. What a joy to be here. And I also want to thank the church for supporting my nephew, Stephen Knickerbocker, missionary to Burkina Faso. They're getting ready to, they've really almost already started their next church. And it's just thrilling to see my nephews and my nieces serving the Lord. And I just thank God for it. I don't know if any of you remember Sephora. That would be my brother Tim's daughter. She worked in the camp, and French girl. And she ended up going back to France, and she couldn't find a guy. I mean, she went to Crown College. She went to Lake Texoma Baptist Youth Camp. And then she went to West Virginia to find a husband. I mean, to work in a ministry there, you know. And, you know, she's going to back to France to work with her mom and dad and take over the kitchen and be absolutely involved with the camp over there. And she got over to the camp. Now, you young people, listen to this. She got over to the camp, and she said, "Lord, I'm sick and tired of worrying about getting a husband. So you know where I am, and if you want to bring me a husband, you just bring him here." 2 months later, this guy shows up from Ireland. He knows French. Can I get an amen right there? And he said, "God told me to come over here and help you folks." So they had a little meeting, Sephora and Brother Livingston. And she said, "Now I want you to know, I'm not one of these girls that, you know, is going to prep all the time. And, you know, I'm not going to worry. I'm overweight," she said. "And I love the Lord, and I want somebody that loves the Lord. So if you're not interested, that's fine." And he goes, "I am absolutely interested." Put God first. Don't worry about anything. I'm serious. God's word says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And pray not complaining, but pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You do those two things, and the peace of God will come upon you, and you'll be so happy because you know that you're pleasing the Lord. And I want to tell you, there's nothing greater than pleasing the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles, would you, and go with me to the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 6. Now, I want you to get the understanding of where we are in Scripture. We have come to the end of the Old Testament. There's a 400 silent years where God does not speak. That's a long time. And I'd like to ask all the families here the question. If you were God and you were getting ready to not speak to mankind for 400 years, what do you think you'd say? Well, let's take a peek. The last verse says, "And he," that is the Lord, "shall turn the heart of the," say it, "fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers." Now notice this phrase, "lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." I think that's pretty important. I think that the family unit was God's creation. And it is the only way that God, are you listening? It's the only way that God can see this world saved. That's right. God uses his people
to accomplish His will for His life, for their lives, that they might have a purpose and a reason for living. Daniel, you know, he purposed in his heart, didn't he, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the wine that they drank. He gave himself completely to God, and God used him in a mighty way. Don't all of us want to be greatly used of God? And he saved us from all bad things, but he saved us unto good things. And this is the text. I want to speak on caring for this next generation. I am very concerned as a grandfather, as a father, that this generation, this coming generation, live for God. This church does not exist just for social things. This church exists for God's glory, that the family might be complete in Him, and that this church and these families, all of you, will give God your very best. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to take you over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We remember the story of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth and how that God gave them a son named John. He was called John the Baptizer. And it's very interesting here in chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. The angel of the Lord is standing to the right side of the altar there in verse 11, and Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is what? Heard. I want to give you eight things from this passage that God says to parents and to children. Number one, thy prayer is heard. Isn't it wonderful that we can pray? Prayer is talking to God. His word is talking to us. You can have a conversation with God every day, at any time, and you'll never get a busy signal. God's word is powerful. It can take you from being depressed and discouraged and defeated to being joyful and happy in the Lord. This is a miracle working book. If it could save us from eternal hell and save us for the glory of God in heaven, don't you think it will meet every need of your family? Amen. Without question, you should never doubt God. That's a lack of faith. And you say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, if you're lacking it, just ask God for it. If you're lacking anything, ask God for it. That's how great our God is. So he said, I want you to know, this is an angel come down from God and said, thy prayer has been heard. And that is so beautiful. How many have ever had any answers to prayer? So you know what I'm talking about. Ask, believing, and ye shall receive. Now, God sometimes answers with a yes, sometimes answers with a no. Sometimes we want things we don't need, right? And we have things we want, and we don't need them. But then he says no, but then he also says wait. Why would God make us wait to keep hearing from us? Right? Why not? I mean, I'm a parent. Anne Marie and I have two children. Rebecca, she's a pastor's wife in Norfolk, Virginia. Our son is studying to be an anesthesiologist, and he was very quiet, Josh, just real quiet, never talked much, really bashful as a kid. And Anne Marie said to Josh one day, Josh, you just don't talk much. You know, you want to know what your children are thinking and that type of thing. He said, somebody has to listen. And then he said, this is really good. You never learn anything when you're talking. And that's what waiting on God's all about. Waiting on God is saying, Lord, I'm silent. I want to hear from you. How many of you believe that God could speak to you by his Spirit? There's no doubt about it. When God called me to be a preacher, I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to, go to Bible college. And I enjoyed school so much, I had two extra years that I got to enjoy twice. And I really, really was not interested in that type of thing. And I saw my dad go through struggles in the ministry and everything. I said, I don't want any of that. I want to make money. I want to have a nice car. I want to have a motorcycle. I want to have a pool. I want to have a beautiful home. All about me. Isn't that amazing? And so the Lord heard me say that to my dad, and the Lord thought, oh, good. I'm going to talk to Brother Dan. And I was in Springfield, Missouri at the field house in Springfield there at BBC. I went there for, I thought, what was a youth rally, but it was a preacher's meeting, and I had to sit through 16 sermons. Now, that's almost grueling. That's like a total workout. And so I'm sitting there, and on the 15th sermon, took a while to get to me, right? To get to me down here in the heart. And the Lord said, you've come to a Y in the road. If you make a right-hand turn, you'll be a preacher. You'll be happy. If you make a left-hand turn, you'll be a New York State police officer. You will not be, you'll be miserable. If you become a preacher, you'll be happy. And you know what? By God's amazing grace, I made the right choice. 46 years I've been in the ministry, and God has been so good to me. And the closer I get to God, the greater joy I have. This is something this generation has to experience. Your parents can't experience it for you. Now, they ought to be an example. You know what the Bible says? That we're to be an example to the believer. And when I read that the first time, I thought, well, why doesn't God say we're to be an example to lost people? I'm not raising lost people. I'm raising saved people. And I am to be the perfect example of Christ-likeness so that my children will know how to live the Christian life. Does that make sense? If mom and dad aren't living it, it's going to be very difficult for your children to have an interest in spiritual things. Now, maybe they may pick it up from other young people that are on fire from God, or maybe in a good church, they're going to pick up that fervor for God while mom and dad aren't there half the time. And we had a boy that came to our church. His parents kicked him out at 14 years old, and he was homeless for a while. And my dad took him in, and he became a missionary. And he gave his life on the mission field. A drunk driver hit him and took him to glory. Leroy Pfeiffer was his name. But you know what? He had everything going against him, but he was a godly man and served the Lord and raised his family on the mission field. I'm just simply saying to you that we must, regardless of anything, we must make sure that we are in tune with God and that he hears our prayers. And when you experience answers to prayer, write them down, because that's God working through you. And it's a beautiful thing. The second thing we find here is in verse 14. In verse 14 it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Isn't it amazing that God says you can live a life of joy and gladness? And many people are going to rejoice because of this young boy, John, that's coming along, that's going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. What an exciting thing. It's so exciting that we can look forward to things that God's going to do because we're walking with God. I want you to notice in verse 15, it talks about this boy, John, for he shall be what? Great in the sight of who? The sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Now that is a tall order right there. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. That ought to be every father's desire, every mother's desire, every child's desire, is they ought to be great in the sight of God. You don't have to be like every other flunky. You don't have to climb Fool's Hill and fall down. You know, my dad had a brother named Bill. Bill was a nominal Christian at best. And he thought that my mom and dad were too hard on us five boys. And so he wanted to give his brother some advice. And so he said, of course, Bill was older, so he's the oldest brother. He said, David, you're too hard on those boys. They don't need to go to no Christian school. And every kid's got to climb Fool's Hill. And you know what he said to my uncle? He said, my boys are not climbing Fool's Hill. My wife and I are going to see to it that they know how to live the Christian life, and I don't want any one of them to have to run off into this stinking world and find out how bad it is and how it destroys families and destroys lives. Hasn't the devil done enough? I mean, we need to declare war against the philosophy of evil. We must stand true to God and say, Lord, I want to be great in your sight, and I want you to help me to be everything that you want me to be. And it's real simple, really. When you surrender to God, he gives you power that you don't have in your weakness. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I realize I need God, that's when God shows up. And it's thrilling when he shows up. Notice also he said he's not going to drink wine nor strong drink. You know, the Bible talks about wine in the Bible. And it tells us very clearly that we're to abstain from it. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't drink wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, wine has spirits in it, but it's not God's Spirit, I can tell you. And when you start jugging that stuff down, you're going to be in trouble. How many people's lives have been wrecked and ruined by it? So he's simply saying to you, you're not going to drink. You're not going to have wine or strong drink. And then, number five, you're going to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what it means to be filled with the Spirit is you have to be saved. If you're saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received the Holy Spirit at that moment. Now, when you're really saved, and I'm going to say this, if you're really saved, because there are some people, there's no evidence that they're really saved. And they say they're saved, they say they're a member of the church even, but they infiltrate and they take people away from the Lord. It's a fact. And it happens, and they're not really saved. I wouldn't even doubt but what the devil sends plants into the church to try to destroy what God is trying to do in that place. I heard a story recently of a woman that got involved in the church and everything. She came and joined, got involved in the church, was working in different ministries, and the pastor rebuked her about something that she was allowing to happen, and she cussed him out. And he sent her down the road. Mm-hmm. You got to protect the church against wolves and people. And I want to tell you something. You can find out somebody who's not where they should be pretty quick. Because if they don't have an interest in spiritual things, they're just going through the motions, but you don't sense the Spirit of God in them, you need to mark them as lost. You don't need to tell them you're lost and going to hell. No, don't do that. But show them the Christian life and try to help them to know the Lord Jesus. Listen, we are to serve the Lord from the day we get saved. Why do we wait till later and we've messed up? No, stay faithful to God right from the very beginning. That's why we have the Sunday schools and the programs in the church, so that we can show the children how to know God and to experience God and be encouraged by the others of their peers. Every one of us ought to be looking for opportunities to encourage each other in the Lord. There's enough things in the world to discourage us. But oh, when you get around God's people, you're going to find that, man, it's a shot in the arm to go to church. And I need it, and it helps me, and it draws me closer to the Lord. This being filled with the Spirit means you're saved. The Holy Spirit's indwelling you. Now, here's how you're filled. Now, listen very closely. You can't be filled with the Spirit until you're emptied of self. That means there are some things in your life that you're doing you need to quit doing. How many of you believe that there's some sins that we commit that we ought to quit committing? Every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest. And sometimes we don't do what we should do, and we've got to get to the place where we identify what our own sin is, and then we quit it. Only God can help you to do that, because your flesh is too weak to quit those sins. You have to say, Lord, here I am. I'm weak. I can't do this. And you need to make preparations for spiritual victory so that you can be emptied of self. And at that moment, the moment you're emptied of self, the power of the Holy Spirit enters you. He will not fill a dirty vessel. And when you're clean, you're real clean. And the Holy Ghost is all over you. And you're loving it. And you, that's all you want. You get to the place where I'd rather have Jesus than anything. We sing that song about silver or gold. Well, I don't know about that. I'd like to have silver and gold, all the nice things of life. Let me tell you something. If you give your life to God, He'll give you everything you need. I didn't say He'll give you everything you want. Some things you don't need. How many times has things come into a person's life that took them away from God? Ask God to give you a job where you're free to be in church. Amen. That's very important. My dad made all of us boys do that. And we were the preacher's kids, you know. But anyway, it was funny because God always opened up doors for us. And I made good money as a teenager. And my dad knew it. And when I wasn't tithing, he encouraged me to sell my car and get rid of my insurance and ride a bicycle again. How about that? Yeah, how about that? The next car I got was the church bought me that I became a pastor the second semester of my first year in Bible college. And they said, you know, Brother Knickerbocker, Pastor, you really need to have a car. You've been riding a bicycle around. I said, well, in God's timing, have you ever learned to wait on God and watch God work it all out? I could tell you stories about that. I don't have time tonight, but it's amazing. And they said, we'd like to give you $500 so you can get yourself a car. Isn't that good? I bought me a 68 VW Bug. And when the snow came down, it just came right down through the sunroof. And you almost froze to death, and you carried a little scraper. You northerners know about that, a scraper inside, not outside the car, inside the car. But God was so good. I just can't begin to tell you how great our God is. And when you're filled with His Spirit, it is wonderful. I want you to know this. Look at verse 16. We're hurrying here now. Number six. Number six is many of the children shall turn to the Lord their God. Did you see that? Many of the children of the Israel shall He turn to the Lord their God. He wants them not to just say, well, I know God and who He is, but He's their God. That's personal. He's my God. And I'm never without Him. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He sees everything I do. That's a little scary thought right there, isn't it? That makes us want to live right. When you get ready to do something you know you shouldn't do, say, now, Lord, I appreciate, could you just leave for a few minutes so I could do this? He's not going anywhere. It's like the guy that got saved and he hadn't given up drinking yet. He'd just gotten saved, brand new Christian. He said, now, Lord, I'm going to go into the bar for a few minutes, see a couple of my friends, maybe have a couple. And you just stay out here and I'll be back in about an hour, okay? No, he went in with him. Oh, that we might have a very tender spirit toward God and that we would sense His presence all the time. When we think about saying something we shouldn't say, I know children are perfect, but sometimes they may say something that's a little irritating, or the parents may, they could say some things too. I want you to notice God knows and hears that. And there's nothing that's more discouraging to God. If He is discouraged, I don't think so. But it's sad when God sees us acting like spoiled children.
and unthankful and unholy. Oh, God, help us to make sure that we are filled with the Spirit and many are going to be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. And then number 7, it's in verse 17, and he shall go before him in the Spirit. This is John is going to go before him in the Spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the, say it, to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How many of you believe Jesus Christ is coming back? We rejoice over the fact. We're looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker, amen? And it could be any day. And I know some skeptics say, yeah, you've been saying that for years. Well, I want to tell you something. When we are raptured and they're not, they're going to wish they were as smart as we were. Amen. I'm telling you, God's real. And one of these days, he's bringing this place to a stop. And can you imagine all of the believers in the world leaving? They'll know it immediately. Now, they're trying to make it up that some alien came down, a big alien ship came down and took them all away. Anything except Jesus came to get them. The world always wants to explain away spiritual things, but they do a lousy job of it. And if you know God's word, if you know the truth of God's word, you'll never be deceived by anybody. Hey, that's why you need to know what you believe. We're going to be prepared to meet the Lord. Now I want to give you just 12 simple things of advice. Now this is for all of the family, the father, the mother, the children. I do believe there's two genders, by the way. Amen. I was in a restaurant not long ago, and the bathroom was right toward the front of the store, like Olive Garden, okay? And so I came out, and the manager was standing there with one of the workers, and I said, where's the manager? And she said, I'm the manager. I said, oh, okay, I've got a serious question for you. Do you only believe that there's two genders? She looked at me, she said, yes, I believe there's only two genders. I said, so do I. She went, Ann said, you should have never done that. Well, I found out where she stood. She took a stand. You be careful about all this garbage going on today in this woke movement. It's dangerous, and it's nuts, and it's crazy. Let me tell you something. If it's not in the Bible, I would not believe it. I really wouldn't. In fact, everything that you hear, you ought to just take your Bible and sift it through that idea, sift it through God's word, and see how it comes out. And there'll be a little tab come out of your Bible and say, nope. Get away from that. Don't do that. You want to do what? Man, God help us. All right, let me give you a few things. For parents, you are to pray for your children's salvation. Children, you're to pray for your parents' salvation. Amen. We're to live pure lives. Pure, holy lives. Social media is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Anything you want to see, you can see it. And I know that it's a hard thing to control it. But you've got to delete things. You've got to make sure that you keep yourself pure. The Bible says, flee fornication. Any evil thing that you see, and there's some things out there that we should not see. You know what happens when you see things you shouldn't see? It opens up a door of things that you might want to do. Because the Bible says the eyes of men are never satisfied. Never satisfied. And you can't live in rebellion against God and be satisfied. Money doesn't satisfy. Why do people that are wealthy commit suicide?
Why do people that have everything but God curse him? Some people think that money's their God, but no, it's not. And we've got to come to the place where we realize that we're not going to believe anything unless God okays it. That's what keeps a Christian clean. The pastor stands up and takes a stand against sin. Say amen. Yeah, amen. Many preachers have quit doing that. You know what some pastors say? I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of taking a stand. And nobody wants to do it, and I'm always being criticized for it. So, hey, I'll give them what they want. It'll make my life easier, and we won't have to, you know, we'll all have a good day. No, you can't do that. Because down inside, you're going to say, I compromised. I sinned against God. I did something I shouldn't have done. Be careful about taking advice from other parents. Get your advice from God. If you have a question, ask the preacher. He's been there. He knows what's going on, and he's given his life to help people. And anyone that you know in the church that's on fire for God, there's nothing wrong with asking him and the multitudes of counselors. There's safety. But listen, this is the supreme counselor. You can study God's word. If you go through God's word every year, new things will jump out at you and will help you in your relationship with the Lord. All right, we ought to pray that our children appreciate the sacrifices we make as parents. It's difficult financially sometimes. Pray for all of us to have respect for authority. Obey them that have the rule over you. Number five, for a love for God and his word. Get to the place. You know, my dad used to do this when I was a kid, and I kind of went, ew. He went like this. He kissed his Bible. And I thought, ew, man. Right in public? Are you nuts? Until I realized how precious it was. I didn't know how precious it was. But, oh, I love God's word. And God loves me. And there's nothing greater than that. And I've discovered one thing. If I love the Lord more than I love my wife, I'm a better husband. And if she loves the Lord more than she loves me, she's a better wife. And it goes with parents and children, the same thing. We've got to fall in love with our Savior, with the Father. Another thing we must pray for our children about is choosing the right friends. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, your parents are going to say to you sometimes, no, you can't do that. You ought to get on your knees and thank them. And any parent that says, no, you can't do that, you better have a good biblical reason why. Put it on God. Make God the bad guy. How can I argue with God? You see? Oh, no, the Bible tells us we can't do that. And every one of you young people, you need to know some scripture where when somebody tries to get you to do something you shouldn't do, you can just lay God on them. They go, I'm not hanging around you anymore. Well, that's your choice, but I'm not doing what you want to do either. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the Lord, lift high the bloodstained banner. Amen? That's what we must do. Oh, have the right friends. Then, number seven, make right choices about a career. Yeah. God doesn't call everybody into the ministry. I think some kids are, boy, if I talk to God, he's going to tell me to do something that I don't want to do. You don't know God. He may want you to be a ditch digger for his glory. He may want you to start a business for his glory. Anything that you do in a career, isn't it for God's glory anyway? Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. I enjoy washing dishes. I enjoy taking out the garbage. I enjoy mowing the... I enjoy everything when I'm right with God. And boy, when I'm not enjoying it, And I don't get any reward for it either. God honors and rewards those that do things for Him. My parents ask me to do something, I do it for the Lord. Your children ask you to do something for them, you do it for the Lord. And do it joyfully. And God will honor that and bless it. Right choices in a career are very important. Pray about what you're going to do. Pray about where you're going to live. Pray about how you're going to have your needs met. Ask God to take care of everything. He loves us so much that He wants to do that. Pray for a servant's heart. There's nothing greater. You know, these children up here, I was really watching them. That little boy, I was hoping he'd take that thing and put it right up in his mouth and just let it rip. Amen. What a cute little boy. Nothing greater than serving the Lord, singing in church, man. The girls that sang this morning, what a blessing. I looked up there and I said, I know one of those girls. I knew her when she was about this tall. And she's now grown up and serving the Lord here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see children that got it. They understood who God was, and they fell in love with living for God and serving God. Go get your qualifications that you need and your certifications that you need to be the best Christian that you could possibly be. Have a forgiving spirit. If you have a forgiving spirit, Mom and Dad, your children will have a forgiving spirit. If you hold a grudge, if you get bitter, if you're always complaining about stuff like that, it totally turns off the children because it's an inconsistency. Because we say one thing, but then we do something else. That's a contradiction, and that hurts the family. You do what's right regardless whether anybody else does or not. Have a forgiving spirit, number 9. Number 10, love your church, really. This is the place. This is the place, and I would like you, if you would, to go over to Chronicles. Would you turn there with me real quick? I wasn't going to show you this, but I want you to see this, and then I want you to go and study it out. 2 Chronicles. It starts at chapter 6, and it goes over to chapter 9. And it talks about Solomon's temple. Boy, this is a preaching sermon here. Because Solomon, he preached a sermon, but he prayed a dedication on the church. And I want you just to notice, look with me very closely, if you would, to verse 23. Then hear thou from what? Heaven. And judge thy servant. Go with me to verse 25. Then hear thou from, and what? Forgive the sins of thy people. Verse 27. Then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sins of thy servants. Go with me to verse 30. Then hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according to all his ways. Verse 33, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee. That means you reach strangers. Whenever visitors come that have never been here before, they're strangers, and they need to be one to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Then hear thou from heaven, and maintain their cause. Now run over to Deuteronomy for just a moment. Deuteronomy, I'm giving you some stuff that I want you to take home, and I want you to devour these passages because he's talking about a new generation, young people. And if you go to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, I mentioned that this morning and then I didn't get back to it. I just want you to read chapters 4, 5, and 6. And I want you to realize that God is wanting to speak to you, and He wants to teach you how to live. in every detail. I don't have the time to develop this. This is really a series of messages on the family. But what it talks about is when you, in your house, you talk about spiritual things. Your children, you have a question? Ask mom and dad. Ask them, challenge them with a question that they can answer from God's word. That would thrill your parents. Mom, what would you do in a situation like this? A lot of kids don't think mom and dad are too smart until they get out there on their own. And then they realize that they are extremely intelligent. And then they have to come back and humble themselves, and they want the parents to get them out of a mess. There should never have to get your kids out of a mess. Amen. Right? If you train them right and show them the good in the right way, they're going to make such good mistakes. You're going to be so proud of them, and they're going to probably pay their own way. Does that sound like a good deal? It is. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's all there is to it. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. He'll come. And what's beautiful is you don't ever have to depart from it. It can be something that is a lifelong thing. I've heard of people say, well, I got away from the Lord for 10 years. 10 years you wasted? No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Stay faithful. When you're going through trials and you don't understand, say, God, reveal to me your will. What did I do wrong? And if you didn't do anything wrong, then wait for God to work it all out. God doesn't move. He doesn't jump when you go. He doesn't do that. Sometimes he'll allow you to struggle. And you learn from your struggles. And you become a greater person because of it. And I'll tell you, it is so exciting too. I pastored for 23 years, and it was so exciting to see three generations and how God worked in their lives. And it just was thrilling. And then it was heartbreaking too. There were two families that ended up leaving our church, and they had their own agenda. They didn't want any leadership. And you know what happened? Both of them put up on Facebook, believe it or not, they said, the best years with our family was at Annsville Baptist Church. And in both couples broke up. You get away from God, you're going to pay a big price. Wouldn't it be better just to stay happy in Jesus? Wouldn't it be better to have God's power? Wouldn't it be better to know that one day you stand before the Lord and he goes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we live for. Let's pray together. May we? Let's bow our heads together.